One of the things that might strike us whenever we read the gospel accounts is we notice that Jesus, being a king, also plays the role of a servant. We see this in prophecy in Isaiah 53 when he's described as a suffering servant. We see it, most dramatically in John chapter 13 when he is washing the feet of his disciples. And so being a servant is a big part of being a Christian, serving one another, serving others. And we have plenty of examples in the Bible of service that we can turn to. And one of those examples that I think is pretty interesting is the one of Jacob. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis 29. In a minute, we'll read verse 20. In this particular setting, in this particular context, we see that he was in service to his uncle Laban for 20 years. If you recall in our chronology class, we saw that he had worked for Laban for 7 years for the wife for the hand of Rachel. He was tricked. He didn't get Rachel's hand. He got Leah's hand in marriage. And then he worked another 7 years so he could earn Rachel's hand in marriage. And then he decided to work another 6 years for Laban for money, for wages. And so he did that. And as a result, he was blessed for his service, as was Laban. Laban was blessed quite a bit because of what Jacob had done for him. Well, Jacob, he was a liar and a cheat, and yet the Lord still blessed him for Jacob's service. When Jacob complained, Laban gave him Rachel for 7 more years of service. Then Jacob worked for Laban another 6 years. It was during these first 7 years that we read of Jacob's service to Rachel, or service for Rachel, I mean. And it shows us that in this particular verse, we're going to look at Genesis 29:20. It shows us 4 things that Jacob did serve. It shows that he had a particular goal, which is something we talked about in time past. It shows that his time was well spent and that he had a motivation, and that motivation was love. So let's look at that particular verse, Genesis 29:20. So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. So one of the first things I'd like to point out in this particular passage is that Jacob did indeed serve. There is no indication that he went back on his deal at all with Laban. And for us, very often, for anybody really, it's easy to say that you're going to do work and then not follow through. You see, we must have the commitment. If we say we're going to do something, we must have the commitment in order to follow through on that. He worked, as we see in this particular passage, he worked for 7 years, ultimately 20 years, but he worked for 7 years in this particular verse, and he did so faithfully. He did so faithfully. We see an indication later of the kind of work that Jacob had done, and it was mainly shepherding. We see that, I think, in some later chapters, that he was dealing with the sheep and whatnot, mainly shepherding, but it doesn't say specifically all the things that he was required to do in service to Laban. And he was playing, as we can see, the long game, as it were. Remember when he started, whenever we talked about this in our chronology class, when he started, he was 77 years old already. And that's that's a pretty interesting thing to note, that he was that old when he started working for Laban for 7 years, and ultimately ended up being 20 years. And so that's an amazing thing to consider. You see, we have promised to serve the Lord. If we're a Christian, if we've been baptized into Christ, we have promised to serve the Lord for far longer than 7 years, far longer than 14, far longer than 20 years, but for our whole lives, of course, assuming we live that long. We have promised to serve him for our whole life. For that is a commitment that we have made. And whenever we serve others, we need to do so faithfully. Faithfully. The next point, we see that Jacob had a goal in mind. We recognize that his goal was to marry the woman that he loved. He loved Rachel. And it says specifically that it felt like a few days to him because of the love that he had for her. He had this goal to marry her. And this allowed him to focus on his work. Sometimes it's difficult to focus on work when there's no specific goal in mind. Sometimes you feel like you're like in the rat race. You feel like you're a small rodent in the little wheels that you see in the cages there sometimes. And that's how it feels like if there's no light at the end of the tunnel, as it were. If there's no reason for what you're doing, sometimes it feels like we are just simply existing, sometimes just going through the motions. And we've got to have goals, and goals really help us to motivate us to do what we need to do. It allowed him to focus, and he realized that every step he made in service to Laban brought him one step closer to his goal. Every step that he made brought him one step closer to marrying Rachel. Of course, that's what he had in his mind. Ultimately ended up being marrying Leah, but you get the idea. That was the goal had Laban not been a cheat. But unlike Laban, God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. So if we are faithful to him in our service, if we have our goal of heaven in mind, whenever we work, whenever we do our service to him, then he will fulfill his part of the deal. he will be faithful. And do what he promised he would do. Whenever we have a goal, our service often becomes easier because then we have something achievable that we are working toward. And that's why I mentioned a while back, we need smaller goals sometimes too. Because, you know, we want heaven, but there are separate, smaller goals to help us, not entirely separate, but smaller goals in order to help us reach that bigger goal. We also see that Jacob's time was well spent. Sometimes whenever I've been tasked with a particular thing that I really don't want to do, I think about all the other things that I could be doing at that time, all the better ways I could be spending my time. Man, I don't want to do this. I could be at home asleep. Man, I could be watching my favorite TV show. Oh, man, I could be spending time with my kids, as adorable as they are. I could be doing these great things, but that's not how we need to act, right? Sometimes I feel that way whenever I'm tasked with something I don't particularly want to do, especially I don't particularly like doing yard work. I mean, I do it because I have to. But man, I do not want to be out there mowing. But I do. I have to. That's, I guess I could hire somebody, but I mean, that's, what's the point of that, right? It's better for me just to do it than to have it either grow uncontrollably or hire somebody to do it. Now, I know some people need to have that, but I don't want to get off on a side thing too much. So, this has the side effect of making the task seem like it is taking much longer than it is. If we don't want to be doing something, if we are thinking about other things the entire time, things that we would rather be doing, it makes it seem like things are taking much longer. You know, they say that time is relative. Well, it certainly feels that way whenever we are not enjoying the task at hand. But that's not the case with Jacob. We see that it felt like it was 7 years, but it only felt like a few days because of the goal that he had in mind. We have a saying sometimes that time flies when you're having fun. Right? Time flies when you're having fun. And that seemed to apply here to Jacob. Not because he was having fun necessarily, but because he longed for the outcome. And so, when we are not enjoying a particular task, we need to find something about that task that we enjoy, something that we like about that. I look back at the lawn I just mowed and I see, man, that looks pretty nice. And so that is the reward that I feel like I get, that outcome that helps me get through a particular task I'm not keen on doing. So that is something we ought to focus on. For us, these tasks will only seem to get more laborious when our attitude is one of drudgery. Whenever we don't want to be doing something, it's going to take forever. But if we focus on it, and if we have the right attitude concerning it, then it will just fly by, and you'll be able to go home and watch TV or go to sleep or spend time with the kids or whatever else you would rather be doing. Finally, Jacob's love motivated him. Do we love to serve? I am so grateful for the help that we have received from this congregation while Victoria and I have been sick. That has been so, we are so grateful for that. And we thank those who were involved because things would have been a little bit more difficult during that time. And we certainly appreciate all the help and especially the prayers that we have received on all of your behalf. Well, on our behalf. The thing is, if we love the people that we serve, we will naturally love to serve them. If we love the people that we serve, we will naturally love to serve them. Does that make sense? I hope that it does. Because if we have the love for our brothers and sisters in Christ that we ought to have, it won't be an issue for us if they are in need of a particular thing. There won't be an issue if we decide, hey, we need to go help that particular individual. We won't even think about it. It'll be something that we will want to do because of our love for that individual, for these people, for the people that we have in the Lord's church. You see, love is a powerful concept in the Bible. And we ought to exemplify the love of Christ to all men, and especially to our fellow Christians. We can see this in this principle given forth in Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to turn there and I'll read that real quick. Galatians chapter 6. Chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to those who are of the household of faith. One of the things that we ought to do is we ought to have a goal for helping those who are in need. To serve them, to love them, and then that service naturally will flow. You see, Jacob loved Rachel so much. He loved Rachel so much, and it did not matter all that he had to go through in order to marry her. I mean, even when Laban tricked him, and he had already worked 7 years for Rachel's hand, and he was tricked into marrying Leah, even then, he decided he needed to work another 7 years because of his love for Rachel. I didn't see a verse on how that time flew by, but but I'd be a little upset if I were Jacob, as I'm sure we all would be. So, let us love one another, wherein it will be easier for us to serve those whom we love. This ended up being a little bit of a shorter lesson today, I suppose. But by way of conclusion, we have examined the service that David gave to Laban, and it shows us a great example for our own service. There are plenty of examples of service. We see Jacob that we just looked at. We see Joseph in his time in Egypt. We see that he served his masters there, and he did so faithfully. We see many other examples as well. We're about to come across one in 2 Samuel, a man by the name of Barzillai. Now, that's a name you don't hear all the time. But he was a man who helped David during his time when he was on the run from Absalom. And he helped him, and he was an old man. It said he was 80 years old. In the passage, it says, I'm very, very old man. That's what it says. I'm not trying to say anything. And David encourages him when it's time for David to return to Jerusalem. He says, why don't you come with me? And Barzillai's like, nah, man, I'll come with you a little bit. But I need to go home and stay home so I can be with my family, be with my people. And so he stayed on the east side of the Jordan. He stayed over, he came over to the across the Jordan for a little bit, but then he came back, and he sent one of his servants to go with David to help him out. So we see Barzillai is one of those examples, and there are just so many that we can see throughout the Old Testament. Nehemiah is a good example. He served, we can see this in chapters 1 and 2, that he never was sad before the king, before Artaxerxes. Now that's an amazing thing. Think about all that's happened to him, all that's happened to his people. And there was never a point where he was sad in front of his master. Never sad in front of the man whom he was serving. Until this point. Until Nehemiah chapter 2, when he hears about the fate, what's become of Jerusalem. But then we see that Artaxerxes had given Nehemiah permission to go and do whatever Nehemiah wanted to do. And that shows, man, you don't give that kind of carte blanche order. You don't give a man like that, a man who isn't faithful, a man who hasn't been a dutiful servant. You give a man who has been a hardworking servant, someone who you like, that's the kind of person that you give that kind of order to. And so in our own service, we ought to be kind. We ought to be loving. We ought to do our best to be likable. I mean, we have personalities, surely, that might conflict with others. We all have those. But we ought to do our best to be likable to other people and to show that the love of Christ to them and the service that we ought to give them. When we are helping others, when we are serving them, let us follow through. Let us do it. We can see that Jacob did his service. Let us recognize the goal that we have. Whatever goal that might be, I mean, ultimately that goal is heaven. Maybe, perhaps, if you're helping a non-Christian, that goal is to get that particular person to be saved. We need to recognize our goals. We need to enjoy our time in service with the right attitude. With the right attitude. Because if we come at it with an attitude of, oh, here we go again, then we're not going to enjoy our time. And it's going to feel like it's taking forever. We got to be like Jacob and have that time just fly by. That would be very beneficial for us. We ought to have that right attitude. And finally, we ought to love those whom we serve. And that is perhaps the most important thing on here. That if we love those whom we serve, then everything else naturally follows. If we love those whom we serve, we will have that right attitude towards service of them. We will see that goal that we want to help them get to heaven, and we want to get to heaven ourselves. And we will have the commitment. If we have our love or love for these, for the people that we serve, then we will follow through. We will carry it out. If we do these things, our service will not only be more pleasing to God, but to ourselves and to those whom we serve. That's the lesson this evening. We always want to give an opportunity for those who need to obey the gospel to do so. The gospel is a wonderful thing. And when we read the Bible, the New Testament, we can see that there's a need that we all have. We all have the need to do what God wants us to do. We all have the need to obey the gospel. And if we have obeyed the gospel, we have that need to do what God wants us to do by walking in the light as He is in the light. And because He is a God who serves, as we see Jesus as God, and He clearly served those of his disciples and other people. We can see that plainly in the miracles He performed and all the amazing things that He did. He served the people. So we also ought to emulate Him. We also ought to imitate Him when it comes to our own service. Now, that doesn't mean that we can perform miracles. but it does mean that we can do what we can to help people out where they need it. And so let us help others. Let us serve others. Let us have the love that we need to have for them. And so if you are in need this evening of a spiritual need to obey the gospel of Christ, you can put Him on in baptism this evening. If you have already done that and you are not living the way you ought to, perhaps you've made a mistake somewhere along the line. We've all made mistakes. But perhaps you've made a mistake somewhere along the line and you feel like you need to bring it before the congregation and ask for forgiveness, ask for prayers of the congregation. We can certainly help you with that as well. Please, if you have a need this evening, come forward as we stand and as we sing.